Great. Good morning, everyone. My name's Mike. No, that's not right. Oh, Dave's not here. Darn it. My name is Matt, in fact. And as Dave said, I work for Southampton City Mission. It is really me. I know I look a little bit different to the last time I was here. My hair seems to have migrated from my chin to my head. And also, it is naturally curly. For those of you who are wondering if I'd had a perm, Pete asked me if I'd permed my hair this morning. I don't know. But no, it is actually me. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to come and speak with you guys again. We were last here in June last year and spoke to you then about discipleship and about love. And when I was asking God this week about what he would like me to bring to share with you today, something unusual happened, which I'll share with you in a moment. But before I do that, I'm going to give you a little update about where we're at with Southampton City Mission and where we're at as a family. And then I'm going to share this unusual thing that happened with you and then hopefully draw something out of that that will explain what I feel God might be saying to you in this season. Lucy may bring something later on. She hasn't nodded, so not yet. There's a couple of videos that I want to use as well today. One to explain something in a far more concise and eloquent way than I ever could. And then one at the end, which is a worship song, sung by one of my favourite artists. But it's quite a challenge, quite a challenging song. So I'm warning you now, if you want to leave before that song happens, then you can do so. You're all here still, which is great. Good. So as I said, I work for Southampton City Mission. And just to give you a brief update on what's been happening with the school's work of City Mission, because we don't just do the basics banks where we give people food and clothing and baby equipment. Although, to say on that briefly, last year we fed over 10,000 people for the first time. So actually we saw a 20% increase in the demand for our service last year at the basics banks. And we went over 12,000 times that we fed people last year. Every time we feed someone, we give them three meals, breakfast, lunch and dinner for 5 days, Monday to Friday. So it's an awful lot of meals. And we're completely reliant on churches and individuals and organisations that support us by donating food. So thank you so much for the donations that I know many of you give to us. And also for your prayer in that area as well. We clothed about 3,000 people, just under 3,000 people last year. We don't have stats for the baby equipment bank, but there is a lot of really good quality stuff going to families in Southampton with new babies who otherwise wouldn't have access to prams or pushchairs or they're the same thing, whatever, the stuff that babies need. So thank you again for that. But I work on the school side, and during 2018-19, so the academic year from September 18 to July 19, we had the pleasure of visiting 47 different schools, which is slightly fewer than the previous year. But we actually saw more pupils than we did the previous year, mainly due to visiting a large secondary school, which we're kind of being able to say yes to more. We get lots of requests from schools that over the last couple of years we've had to say no to or not yet to because of the capacity of our staff. I was the only full-time member of staff at City Mission. And so we're starting to be able to say yes to those requests, and I'll tell you for why in a moment. We saw a big jump in the number of Question of Faith days that we delivered. So these are days where we go into schools and we take a whole year group at a time. Could be anywhere from 30 to 180 students at a time. We now have a junior school in the Southampton region that has six classes in one year group. So that's 180 kids. And we delivered 170 days as opposed to 139 days the year before. So that's a whole nother month's worth of days that we were able to deliver in schools last year. And we were able to do that because we trained three new volunteer team leaders. So they might be retired teachers or youth workers, children's workers in their own right. And we trained those and they're now leading days in their own localities. We led 82 assemblies and are looking to increase that by offering to do that in schools where we're doing a Question of Faith days. And we helped two schools to maintain existing prayer spaces and are including those pop-up prayer spaces in Question of Faith days. And we've started to talk to the Southampton House of Prayer, which has just seen its first anniversary, about getting their team involved in setting up prayer spaces in schools as well and helping pop up prayer spaces to happen across the city. We ran transition support sessions for 17 year six groups this year, which is six more than the previous academic year. And in those, we help 11-year-olds to think about their hopes and fears, their dreams, as they move to secondary school. And we were able to distribute 950 Scripture Union It's Your Move booklets, booklets specifically designed to help year sixes as they move up to year seven. So we gave out about 1,000 of those this year, which was 300 more than the previous year. And it's also been really great to see a 25% increase in active volunteers helping us. So thank you to those of you here who come and help us in schools. And if you don't yet but would like to, you can ask me more about that at the end of this morning. We only had 31 people helping us the previous academic year, but last year we had 43 regular volunteers in schools, which is really great. We recruit and train team leaders throughout the year, so there's no specific time it has to happen. And all of that means that actually last year we were able to speak to 15,460 pupils approximately throughout the academic year, which is really great. This year has started really well. We wrote and delivered a unique and magical harvest assembly based on the story of Elisha and the widow and the jars of oil, where we had a jug of milk. So we brought it up to date. It was milk instead of oil, and we had cups instead of jars. And we made a jar of milk fill several cups, one which was really tiny, one which was really big, and the tiny one fitted in the big one, and the big one fitted in the tiny one. It was all very incredible. And the children loved that. We delivered that to around 11,000 children this year, which I think is more children than we've ever had here, one of our harvest assemblies before. And our new full-time schools worker, Ellie, has now started. We secured some funding last May, to offer a full-time post at Southampton City Mission. And really excitingly, we had lots of really great applications, and we took four people through to interview stage, and then two through to observation stage, and then appointed Ellie in the summer of last year. She asked, because she was a teacher in a local school, if she could wait until January this year to start, because she wanted to make sure that her year three students coming into her class were well settled and so on before that she started. We have a really good relationship with that school, and so we said that was absolutely fine. We were happy to wait for her. And so she started in January, and it's just been a real pleasure to have her on board. She's got in stuck in straight away, and things have been magically happening in the office around me. Stuff that I would have normally had to do myself have just been happening. So it's been amazing. She did her first day on her own this last week, and so she's fully trained and up and running now. And what that means is, having Ellie on board, is that we're now able to get more involved in national and local networks and statutory bodies. So, for example, I now sit on the Southampton SACRE, which is the Standing Advisory Council for Religious Education. So they ask me, as the Southampton City Mission schools worker, to help them advise on RE, and especially Christian delivery, or delivery of Christianity teaching in RE across the area of Southampton. As well as that, I'm now sitting on the steering board for the City Mission Movement UK. So that's the leaders of the city missions across the UK, all gathered together on a regular basis and discuss what's happening across the nation and what's happening with the city missions. We support existing city missions, struggling city missions, and we encourage emerging and new city missions to start or to grow as well. And our outreach to churches as well in the region has been enhanced, I'm supposed to say, with the development and delivery of our SCM School Sunday Roadshow. So hopefully at some point this year, I'll be back again to deliver our Sunday Roadshow, which is where we take our Question of Faith program into a church and we show a church congregation what our Question of Faith days look like. Because it's really difficult to kind of get an idea of what we do unless you see it for yourself. And so what we're doing this year is we are doing a snapshot of that by squeezing a whole question of faith day into half an hour, 45 minutes, however long a church can give us. And we're taking that to churches all across the region and showing them how easy it is to get involved with sharing the gospel in schools. We're also planning to develop a primary-aged apologetics YouTube channel where we're answering the big questions that children often ask. It is actually my favourite time on our days in schools, answering their questions. You never know what they're going to ask. It's a completely unplanned part of the day, and so I'm completely and fully reliant on the Holy Spirit at that moment. Some of the questions they ask, though, are extraordinary. We see God doing some amazing things during those times. But teachers have asked us, and children have asked us again and again, could you do a bit more question and answers? Could you stay for another 15 minutes? And we could go back and do another hour of answering their questions. But what we've decided to do is to record our team leaders answering some of those big questions that children have. We're going to put them on YouTube so that they can be used as a resource for schools to answer those questions in settings where we're not able to be for extended periods of time. We're also looking to establish targeted prayer hubs for the schools work that we do across the region. And so if anyone's passionate about praying for the schools in your area, which we go into, then again, please speak to me at the end later. Having Ellie on board also means I'm now able to spend a little bit more time using my kind of net making skills, although it's software programming skills, which is what I'm actually trained for. Believe it or not, I'm not trained to do children's work or school's work at all. I use some of my software coding skills to start automating some of our processes in the office. So I've just written a little bit of code that means that when I now push a button, my travel expenses sheet is automatically filled out for me with mileage and money. I just press the button and it happens in about 3 seconds, which is going to make my wife very happy. Because now she won't be waiting forever for me to fill out my expenses forms. So there's a lot of stuff going on with us at City Mission at the moment, so please do pray for us. Chris Davis, who some of you will know, has now left City Mission. He stepped back. He's being retired, as he calls it, with a Y, so R-E-T-Y-R-E-D. He's had a little pit stop, and now he's got new wheels on, and he's now doing full-time pastoral ministry at Colne Avenue Baptist Church. So please do pray for him as well. He's well over 60 and has now decided to dedicate at least 10 years to pastoring the local church there, which is quite incredible. And so now Duncan, who's the Associate City Missioner, and I are now leading City Mission going forwards. So please do pray for me in that as well. On the church side of things, as you know, we were with Life Church, but just before we visited you last year, we'd handed on the leadership of the site that we planted and got up and running onto another elder and his family. And in the summer, Lucy and I were asking God to show us where he wanted us to go next. And he spoke to both of us individually and asked us to try the church at the end of our road again, which we had tried 5 years previously and not really got on that well with it. It was an Anglican church, and so not our usual cup of tea, but we both felt, okay, we'll give this a try. We went one Sunday in the summer. I almost lost the will to live. But we felt that God was definitely speaking to us, so we stuck with it. And in September, a new vicar and his wife and their kids came in, and immediately there was a connection with us, which was great. We felt God saying to us to be there, that we were there. He wanted us there to support them, to hold up their arms as they led the church forwards. They're passionate about the Holy Spirit and wanting to lead the church in a new direction, slightly fresh direction, which involves the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, which is really exciting. And having done that ourselves in leadership positions, we knew and we know how difficult and how hard and how isolating that can be. And so we said to them, look, we feel that God's called us here to lift up your arms, like Aaron and Hur did with Moses, as you lead the people, as you battle the powers and principalities in this place. And they said, you know, that you're basically an answer to prayer. We've prayed for a couple or a family to come alongside us and support us who are not part of the church, because then you won't have any of the baggage that has been there before, and somehow God has brought you to support us. And what's been really encouraging is that out of that connection has sprung up a really natural and really lovely friendship and we now meet with them regularly in the morning, and our kids and our families get together once a week, and we study the Bible, and we have bacon and eggs together, and it's really great. It's really lovely. They've got Lucy helping to lead worship now in a fresh and new way, which is very unusual for the church to have songs that are kind of not circa 1380. And it's all right. They know I say this stuff, so it's okay. I can get away with it. People have been really encouraged. One person came up to Lucy after the first time she's had, and he said it was great. It was like being at Spring Harvest. And so she was like, oh, that's really encouraging. It's lovely. A couple of weeks ago, they asked us to be interviewed about the impact the Holy Spirit has had in our life. We have been going through the Creed, the Nicene Creed, and looking at what that means, because lots of people in the Anglican tradition say it week in, week out, but don't necessarily understand what they're saying. And so when it came to the week about the Holy Spirit, Tony, the vicar, said, Matt and Lucy, can I interview you? Tell us who the Holy Spirit is. Kind of what impact the Holy Spirit has had on your life and how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we had the opportunity for half an hour to share about some of the things that the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. And then at the end, we spoke out some prophetic words of knowledge that we felt that God had given us. And there was a time of prayer, and people came forward crying and clearly being touched by the Spirit. And one lady kind of fell over in the presence of God. And that's something that's never happened at that church before. And one couple came up to our friends at the end who were with us and said, we've been waiting for this to happen for so long. God called us to come to this church from a more charismatic church, and we've been waiting for this to happen. Thank you so much for being obedient. And we sort of said, well, how long have you been here? And they said, well, he called us to come here 20 years ago. So, yeah, I was like, I don't know that I would have that patience, to be honest, to wait for 20 years for something like that to happen. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to wait and to be obedient. And when God says go, we go, and we stay where he says to stay. And then when he does stuff, as I said, it's amazing. It's incredible. Charlie's now in year four at school, and Maggie's starting school in September, if you can believe that. She's in preschool at the moment and loving that. Lucy, as I said, is getting more involved with worship at church, and she's got a growing group of ladies, mums from the local school, who go into the gym with her and want her to train them. And so she kind of does coaching and stuff like that unofficially. But it's a really amazing opportunity to disciple them as well and to speak into their lives the things of the Spirit as well. So that's kind of what is happening with us, just to bring you up to date. Just to fill Dave in, as I was asking God what to bring this morning, something unusual happened, Dave. And on Friday night, I had a dream. Now, this might not seem unusual to you, but I very rarely remember my dreams. In fact, in the last 20 years, I can probably say I've only remembered 4 dreams. So I hardly ever dream, and when I do dream, I never remember my dreams. So I felt this was significant because it's not something that usually happens. And in the dream, I was in a theatre, and I was in your church, Dave, but we were in a theatre. And you'd asked me to go and speak, and you'd asked me to speak on Ephesians 64 and about grace. And it was an interesting morning because... There was worship, time of worship, and then you asked me up to speak, and then I spoke a little bit, and then the worship leader did a song in the middle of me speaking, and I was like, okay, I'll just let you carry on there. And then handed back to me, and I carried on speaking again, and then another little song came in the middle of me speaking, and I was like, okay, this is an interesting flow. New dynamic I'm not used to, but okay. And then a friend of mine from university who I haven't seen in about 20 years then tapped me on the shoulder and said... Why didn't you ask the band if they can sing this song? It's got some really great words in it. I was like, I didn't even know you were a Christian, mate. What are you doing in this church? And then at the end, I gave an appeal, and there were over 30 responses. So I asked people to put their hands up, and I kind of very quickly guesstimated over 30 hands. And I asked people to come forwards, and there was well over 30 people that responded, one of which was a guy from New Zealand, Who was like, yeah, basically, I've never been to church before. I just kind of came for a laugh this morning. But God's basically spoken to me, and what you said made sense. And so I've given my life to Christ this morning. Now, this, I have to remind you, this is all a dream. This hasn't actually happened. But I very rarely remember dreams in such detail as this. Okay, so I thought it was important for me to share this with you this morning. Now, there is no Ephesians 64, but I counted the words in the Greek version of Ephesians, and the 64th word in Ephesians is agape. So that's what I'm going to speak about this morning. And I'm going to pray before I start. I speak very briefly. Father, I pray that you would help me to interpret what I believe is a picture that you've shown me for this house. I pray that you would help us all, whether we agree that this was a prophetic dream or maybe it was a pathetic dream, whichever one we agree with, Father, I pray that regardless of that, you would help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Pray that you would speak through me, you would touch hearts this morning, people would hear what you want them to hear. Whatever is of me, I pray, would fall away, and whatever is of you would stay. And pray this in Jesus' name. If you agree, you can say amen. So I'm going to try and slightly unpack that vision. The theatre. So I knew, we stay in touch with Pete and Leslie, quite frequently have them around for dinner. I know that you guys are thinking about venues. But I didn't know where you're looking. Pete and Leslie haven't said anything about where you might be looking or what you might be considering. But I think that the fact that this dream was set at, with your church, you had clearly asked me to come and speak, Dave. I was in a theatre. That says to me that there will be a new accommodation. There's somewhere that you're moving to or that you will be ministering out of, which is somewhere different from this building, from this place. And I saw a theatre. It was actually a tiered theatre. So it was quite a big space and it was going back and up and seats around. It was quite a big place. It might be an actual theatre. It might just be a new place. But I felt that the theatre was new accommodation. The different flow with worship intermingled with the talk, which was slightly unusual. I felt like God saying that as you move into this new season, there may be a new approach to doing ministry on a Sunday morning, or a new style, that something new is going to evolve and come to life out of that move that may not be what you've been used to before, but it's good, it's God. The grace that was in the dream spoke to me of new abilities, new experiences that people will have in this place. So whereas people have maybe been stuck on something before, oh, this is me, I'm this person, I can pray for healing, or I can hear God and deliver prophetic messages, actually, God's going to stir things up and there are going to be new abilities released to people across the board. The fact that I saw my friend from uni there, a guy called Darren, who I've never seen in the last 20 years, but I know his mum actually used to own a tea shop in Romsey, which is slightly random. He says, speaks to me of new attendees. So new people coming into the church, people who are our friends, who are all of your friends, who you might think, well, I didn't know you'd be interested in this stuff. Actually, God's now entering a season where, or you're entering a season where God is asking you to invite those people to come and to hear what he is about. The response that happened when I gave an appeal in the dream, I believe talks of new acceptance. So new people coming to faith, people who you may have discounted, people who you thought, well, they would never be interested. An actual increase of people wanting to believe, wanting to accept this forgiveness, this freedom, which you talked about this morning, Dave. As you see at the beginning of revival, just new acceptance of people being open and receptive to the word of God in their lives. And finally, the New Zealand guy who I saw, I think that's a sign of a new anointing. So just an ease of bringing the gospel and people responding. Like this guy was there, he said, just because he thought he'd go to church for a laugh, kind of almost to make fun of it. But then in the midst of that, God impacted him and changed his life. So new accommodation, new approach, new abilities, new attendees, new acceptance, and new anointing. Obviously, weigh this up, talk to your leadership team about it, pray about it. But that's what I saw, and that's what I felt God's asked me to say to you. Moving on to agape, I knew instantly that word meant love. And I wasn't sure if I should talk about love again, because that's kind of half what I talked about last time I was here. We don't really do any question of faith days on love specifically. In fact, only one event this last calendar year has been on love, which was an assembly at a school in Totten. But when I reflected on this, I realized that every assembly, every question of faith day, every prayer space, every transition support session we do, they all have love in them. The love of God is at the center of everything we do, because that's the gospel. God loved the world so much that he sent his only son so that any who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. C.S. Lewis identified four types of love in the Bible, in the Greek, of which agape is one. Other sources, including Psychology Today, identify seven types of Greek word, which means love. But the focus today is on agape love. Pete said to me earlier, what are you speaking on? I said, agape. He went, oh, mushy love, like this. Tried to give me a kiss. I'm like, get away from me, Pete. But that's not the type of love we're talking about here. Agape love is the type of love that the Bible talks about most. Wikipedia describes it as a Greco-Christian term, meaning the highest form of charity. The love of God for man and of man for God. Universal, unconditional, transcending and persisting despite circumstances. Something that goes beyond just emotions to the extent of seeking the best for others. It could be defined as charity, Christianity Today says. However, today we think of charity as giving things away, giving away money or objects. But that doesn't encompass what agape is all about. Agape love is unconcerned with the self, but it is concerned with the greatest good of another. It isn't born just out of emotions or feelings or familiarity or attraction, but from the will and as a choice. Agape love requires faithfulness. It requires commitment. It requires sacrifice without expecting anything in return. Agape simply means affection, goodwill, or benevolence. It occurs about 117 times in 106 different verses in the New Testament. The only occurrences in the Gospels are when it comes out of Jesus' mouth, that word agape. And he says it 8 times. He says to the Jewish leaders, "What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees? For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God, the agape of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." Again, he says to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Your approval means nothing to me because I know that you don't have God's love within you." To his disciples, he says about the end times, "Sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So remain in my love." Each one of those loves being that agape love. "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love." And then finally, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is my command, love one another." And then in prayer, Jesus says, "I have revealed you to them," talking to his Father, "and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them." Jesus saying that he is the perfect personification of what this agape love looks like. And as we spend time in the Father's presence, as we are increasingly having his reality of his kingdom revealed to us, Jesus continues to and increase in us in his presence so that we become that love that he talks about, that agape love. Now, as I said, I wanted to show you a video which explains this much more eloquently and concisely than I ever could. And so we're going to watch our first video now, which is from the Bible Project. Anyone ever heard of the Bible Project? A couple of people. Fantastic resource. If you ever wonder what any of the words in the Bible mean, or you want a good commentary for the Bible, thebibleproject.com are slowly working their way through the Bible, recording all sorts of fantastic videos about the scriptures. So do check them out. This is their video about agape. Thank you, guys at the back. Very good. So Jesus used the story of the Good Samaritan to explain that love to people, that love that extends beyond the person sat next to you, that extends beyond the person you actually like, not just to our neighbours, but to our enemies as well. I don't need to tell you that story because I think you all know it. But I wonder what kind of love we demonstrate, whether we do demonstrate that mushy love that Pete wanted to show me this morning with a big wet kiss. Or that kind of love that maybe tolerates things that people do to hurt us, or whether we really have that proper agape love, that general empathy, loving kindness for all people. Christians are indeed expected to care for all in the name of Christ, but Christianity takes this a step further. Biblical writers, as we heard, use God as the standard for true agape love. It's a love that comes from God. It isn't sentimental, it's part of his character. It comes from an outpouring of who he is. As 1 John 4:8 states, God is love, meaning he is the source of all agape love. His love is undeserved, it is gracious, it is sacrificial. And we are to love God in that same way. And we're called to love others with that agape love. It's a choice, a deliberate striving for another's highest good, a demonstration through action. God has set the standard for us in sending Jesus to die for us as we were sinners, as we'd heard. But I believe that Jesus commands us to love God back in the same way and each other. But are we? We're all in the kingdom of light. We're all in the light if we're part of God's kingdom. But we need to go from being in the light to being the light. You know, sharing God's love isn't about a new program necessarily. It isn't about a new course. It isn't about a new strategy. It's actually about being you, filled with God's love, being who he created you to be. One thing I've seen as I've gone around the schools is that I haven't done anything particularly special. I'm literally just filled with God's love. And God's love in me touches other people. I believe that as we live this agape love in our lives, then God will release those things that he has promised to us. Things like new accommodation, new abilities, new levels of anointing. Not so that everyone can see what big deals we are, but so that we can see new approaches come forth in the body of Christ. So that we can see new attendees, new people come to faith in his Son. And new acceptance. So we can see those people who are considered by many to be outcasts, to be enemies, to be untouchables, to actually have them as part of the kingdom of God. And this isn't just a message for Dave, although the dream I think might be for you, Dave, possibly. Actually, this is for all of us. This love is for every single one of us, not just the quotes leaders. The idea is that we all are filled with this agape love so that we ultimately can fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God. And when that happens, that's when Jesus returns and takes home his bride. That's when all things are made new. When death and destruction and war and famine and things like the coronavirus and Brexit negotiations and refugees finish forever and everything is perfect and good as it was always meant to be. And agape love is filled in everything. But I wonder if that's how we are living. I wonder if that's how we are loving. We were doing some colouring yesterday morning at the breakfast table and Lucy asked me to put on some music. And I went to, well, Charlie said, oh, can you put on the Phantom of the Opera? Maggie said, can we listen to The Little Mermaid? I thought, okay, where's the balance between those two things? I put on some Keith Green. Anyone like Keith Green? Yeah. Keith Green's one of my favourite guys, I suppose, that I've never had personally the knowledge of meeting. But his music has really, I know, touched many, many people across the world. His story itself is incredible. And the way that that agape love touched his life and made him such a radical catalyst for the agape love in other people's lives really has always stayed with me. And one of his songs that we listened to yesterday morning brought me to tears. Sat at the breakfast table just colouring. And so I want us to listen to it now after Lucy brings whatever she might have. It's a song that's called Asleep in the Light. Links to what I was saying before about going from being in the light to being the light. It's quite a challenging song. It's quite a direct and confrontational song. I don't mean this as condemnation, because actually there is no condemnation for those who are now in Christ, Romans 8:1 says. But I want you to be challenged. I want you to be stirred up so that you can think, actually, am I living this agape love in my life? Because if you're not, then you're not going to see those things that God has promised released. You're not going to see those new accommodations, those new attendees, those new anointing, the new abilities, the new acceptance. It's not going to happen until we're living that love that God calls us to live. We're going to play that song in just a moment. If during that song you would like prayer for anything, please come to the front. That kind of will be our response time. But before we do that, if that's okay, before we do that, Lucy, is there anything you want to share? Okay.
Morning. So before Matt started speaking, I was praying, and I knew that he was going to talk about agape, but I didn't know anything else. And God has really been saying faithfulness ever since I've come in the door. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. And then when Tim was leading worship, I was like, wow, he's really faithful. Like, most times we come, he's leading. And when we did the hub, 12 years ago, he was still leading. And he's still leading now. And God just really put it on my heart how faithful he's been. And I know what a cost worship is. It comes at a cost. And God just put it on my heart that Tim has faithfully led you guys in worship. And there might be things that have happened that you guys don't know behind the scenes. But I was like, Lord, what are you saying in this? What are you showing me? And he's showing me that that faithfulness that Tim has shown you guys has come out of a heart of worship in Tim. He has done that because of his love, his agape love for worship and wanting to see you guys come into worship every Sunday. And that was one side of it, that faithfulness. How I feel like God is challenging us in our faithfulness in how we serve him. What is it that, what love has he put inside us? What area of his church, what part of the body has he put that love in us that we need to be that faithful in? Who's willing to wait 20 years for something to change because they love it so much and God has told them to stay there? And the flip side of faithfulness, God was telling me, is just how are we conducting ourselves relationally with God in our faithfulness to God? So we can be faithful for God in serving, but how are we conducting our faithfulness in just spending time with him? How much love have we got to just spend time with him? And so I feel that there's two sides of the coin for faithfulness. One in our serving and one in our relationship with God. And he reminded me this week in the gym. I tried something new with the ladies. I thought it would be fun to have a bit of a laugh. And I had one of the girls sat up against a wall. So you're sat in a squat position on the wall and your legs are burning like mad. Someone else has got a big rubber band around the person in front of you. And while one sits on the wall holding on to this band, it's like you're holding on to a horse, the lady in front is trying to run away. They can't because they're stuck by this band. So no matter how hard and fast you run, you can't go anywhere, but you're working really hard to try and get somewhere. And God brought that into my mind, and I just felt like God was saying that for some of us, we are restricted by a band around us, whether or not that's relationships that we're in that have got us kind of trapped in an unhealthy tie that it just needs to be let go so that we can run free. Or just something that is holding us back in running full force with what God has put on our hearts to go for. Whatever God has put in you as a passion, there will always, always, always be circumstances or something that will come up to try and pull you away from that. And I just feel really strong that God wants to cut that band today. He wants to cut it and set you free to run full force. It's not I come and everyone else does it. There's people at the front that can do it. God doesn't need me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. That band needs to be cut so you can run free.
I didn't know anything about what Matt was going to share today, but I've been very encouraged by a picture I saw in the week, and I brought it today, and it says we need a revolution. The love bit is turn round. Can you see that? Can you see that? And I just think that God is confirming the word today. And I brought this today because I thought I'd give it to Dave and see whether we could have a poster made of it. Maybe for outside, but maybe it's for us as well. Do you see that, Dave? Yep. So there we are.
Thanks, Leslie. So I'm going to pray for a moment. Talking about what Lucy said about spending time in God's presence, Lucy's mum has just written another little booklet. I didn't know what Lucy was going to share on, but I always bring a few just in case. And her latest one is 7 Ways to Live in His Presence. So I'll put, they've only got 5 copies of this. So if anyone does want one, they're completely free, but come and find me at the end. But I'll pray into those things. And if you want prayer for that specific thing that you've heard today or anything else, then just while this song's praying, if you want to come to the front, I'm sure there'll be people who can pray. So Father, I thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you love us with an unconditional, unending, never dying, never giving up type of love. That you sent your only Son to die for us and to live again so that any who believe in him may not die, but they may have new life. We've already celebrated that with the communion meal today, remembering what he did on the cross 2,000 or so years ago. I thank you that you aren't just a God who existed 2,000 years ago, but that you are alive and well today, that Jesus is on the throne room in heaven today, and he is wanting us to hear your voice, that he's wanting us to know that the greatest thing we can do with our lives is to live out this agape love, to love you in the same way that you love us and to love those around us. I thank you that as we do that, as we love people in that way, that you will release your promises to us. I pray for that dream I had. Whatever is of you in that would stay with this house, and whatever is not of you would fall away. But I do pray for them that you would release to them at the right time, the right place, the new accommodation that you've promised. I pray that you would take them to a new level of anointing, that they would operate in abilities that they've not done before. Not just the leaders, but every single person here would be filled in fresh ways, that they might receive fresh experiences of you and fresh ways in which to minister to others. We pray for those new attendees and a new level of acceptance, to a new level of receptiveness to the gospel, that many in this town will come to know you because of the Holy Spirit filling these people here, your children, your sons and your daughters, with your love, that as they show that love to the people in this town, that you would draw them to yourself, that you would gloriously save them and set them free. Just like that picture Lucy had of the band being cut, Father, we pray that freedom here this morning. I pray that you would set people in this room free now, today, so that they can demonstrate that freedom, that love to others that they know. We pray your will be done and your kingdom come. In Jesus' name.